First discourse of the morning is by Brother Adam Miskowitz, and his subject is Life Assurances. Brother Miskowitz. Been a real privilege and pleasure and a delight to worship with so many of the Lord's people this week. And Sister Stella, I'm sure the rest of the family who are here can testify and share the same testimony with me. I feel like the rest of the speakers who have gone on before, I appreciate to see the wonderful countenance of the brethren, but I also appreciate the prayers. The brethren in Chicago, with whom I meet, send their love, and just by way of remembrance again, we are planning for a four-day convention this time over the New Year holidays, and we would invite every one of you who possibly could make it to be there, those of you who can't, pray for them. Please. Life assurances. You know, there's been so much said from the platform already of that which I would say. And so this is true by way of remembrance again. The subject has been most thoroughly gone over, and then the lid was put on by our brother Covers yesterday when he selected the topic of working out your own salvation. But I delighted and I thrilled to follow the thought, because very well harmony with what I had to present. If it were otherwise, then I indeed would begin to worry. And they that were with him, we read, were called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17:14. When we first heard God's call, and if the message sunk in at all, if it made any impression on us, we knew that we had ears to hear. They were tuned, and God could reveal more and more of that message to us. And he did. And we were invited to cooperate with him by giving him our heart. And we did this. And we were chosen. And we received the earnest of our inheritance. And we knew it. And it exhilarated our intelligence, our appreciation of the beautiful, wonderful plan of God, but also his lovely character. And so it affected not only our minds, but our hearts as well. The Holy Spirit is, as it were, another sense added to the five which we already possess. And we felt the surge of life, a new hope, even as the Apostle Peter expresses it in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That most of us, if not all, have been somewhat anxious to find out where we will be when we finish our course here upon this earth, I trust all of us will do this with joy, is not surprising. I think it is a normal condition. Yes, we go back to the time when we were first enlightened, when we first started, and we enjoy and delight to reminisce about that. And then we project our minds a little into the future, because our life is short, and we think of the reward of the faithful and the work of the next age, and to see our Heavenly Father, and to see our Master Jesus, and all of those whom we were acquainted with, and run alongside and helped, and they helped us, and also all down through the gospel age, and those who likewise were of the same trend of mind and thought, activated by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We certainly are happy that God didn't forget us, justly sentenced to death because of our first representative's sin. And we are most thankful, too, that God hasn't forgotten the world of mankind, that we experienced His mercy first, and then by God's grace, they also will receive mercy. Just and through our mercy, God has taken us in as a real partner, hasn't He? But the question is this before us this morning, dear brethren. From the time that we first started until we finished our course, what is taking place? What is happening? What about this interim period? Where do we stand? Can we know if we are making progress, or whether we are going backwards, or perhaps merely standing still? They say there is no standing still in the truth. You either go forward or you go backward. And the answer to this question is determined, brethren, upon the basis of what takes place during this in-between a period. And there is, sometimes it seems, so much of this in-between period, and at times it goes by so quickly. Is it, brethren, with some of us, as the poet expresses it, to the point, I like to know, oft it causes anxious thought, am I here or am I not? Is it a period of just waiting, or can we know where we stand? In schools, they give out report cards, not only for the benefit of the pupil, who likes to know just what progress he's making, and if he has to step up some particular phase of his learning to keep up, it's an asset to him, surely, and also to the parent who is interested in the child. Is it too much, dear brethren, to expect something like this from our Heavenly Father, some assurance daily that we are His, that we are still in line with all of the precious promises that He has given to us? And I believe, brethren, that this is not too much to expect, to find out whether we are on the right track, whether our course is leading unto life, whether or not God is still dealing with us. Across the street from where I operate, my Bible shop, there is a large grammar school, and I've become acquainted with the young tots there. And when the graduation exercises come along, they invite me over, and usually I try to make it. Some 6 weeks ago, I was happy to be present. It was a Wednesday, my day off anyway, and I received a lot of blessings from these little ones who thought now they had finished their education. They were quite proud, and the parents were very proud, and they had their usual song, something like we have here, and they had selected the song entitled, I Believe. I don't know who wrote it, whether it was a Protestant or a Catholic, but the last verse did. The last stanza did make an impression on my mind, and I copied it down. I believe all earth will be at peace one day and cease to fight. I believe that God will lift us from the dark into the light. Every time I hear sweet music from afar, or feel the rain, or see a star, then I know why I believe. Now, they sang this with gusto, and you have to appreciate those little mouths opening and the hearts in that song of why they believe. And they believe because of what they see concerning nature. Now, we know that God is responsible for that. But we believe, brethren, not only because of what we see, because of nature, unto us is also given a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed. As the Apostle Peter puts it in the first chapter. Yes, and in that word unto us are given great and exceedingly precious promises that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature. Do you believe them? Do I believe them? We surely do. They're necessary. We feed on them. Our soul hungers for them. And daily they are our meat and drink. Remember how it was brought out from the platform here concerning Israel and their sin. It was chiefly a sin of unbelief. They have forgotten so soon what God has done for them. He had brought them out of bondage from the Egyptians, had parted the Red Sea for them to pass through, had closed in on their enemies by having that Red Sea come together again, had fed them in the wilderness, had clothed them, or at least the clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. He clothes us too, brethren, the robe of Christ's righteousness doesn't have to wear out. No, we may get it soiled sometime, but even then he has made arrangements, wonderful provisions for the cleansing of the same. No, let us not forget God has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And God is continuing to do great things for us, whereas we are still glad. This is our heart attitude, is it not? In Chicago, our Sunday lesson has to do with parental obligations. And I often think, and I'm sure some of our brethren do too, we who have families recognize that God is our parent, if we are begotten of His Holy Spirit, and He has some obligations too. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. And how encouraging it is to know that our Heavenly Father supervises our affairs, if we permit Him to. And we can cry, Abba, a Father. And as a father pities his children, so our Heavenly Father pities them that love Him. Well, anyway, on page 549 of this Parental Obligations, Brother Russell writes concerning the power of suggestion, that it can be an influence either for good or for evil. The power of suggestion is very important, brother. We are here today and all during this week because of suggestions. But there are suggestions on different levels of thought. Some are merely perhaps suppositions, ideas, and some are a little higher than that. But when God gives us suggestions, we can rest assured they are potent, that they are powerful if we permit they're working in us. God does not force us to accept His suggestions, but you couldn't find any better than we have in God's Word. Thy Word is truth to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this Word, there's no truth in it. There's no light in it. And His Word shall not return unto Him void. And so if we permit those suggestions to operate in us, during this in-between time, they will energize us, brethren, activate us, and we will experience the fume of Christian life. Energized, activated, it is the Spirit that quickens us. And then our pastor goes further and uses the illustration of the Apostle Paul, and how he suggests, saying that those who continue to sin willfully At the end is destruction, the second death. And he doesn't stop there. He says, but we are not of those that draw back unto perdition, but of those who believe unto the saving of the soul. God wants us to be positive, attentive, to think upon those things which are true, lovely, honest, of good report, virtuous. And he will be with us, because these are his suggestions, from his word, his promises, that shall complete the work in us, if we submit it. And so this morning, I'm going to try to reiterate some of these good suggestions that ought to be operative in our lives as Christians during this stage of our development. And this particular stage, this in-between time, is not all a recess by no means, brethren. We are in the season of Christ, and it can be, and ought to be, a period of rich blessing and development and comfort and strength for every one of the Lord's people. I have a flashlight at home with ever-ready batteries. I suppose you do too. And it works wonderful. But one time the lights went out in the evening. I went after that flashlight, flipped on the switch, and didn't you know it? Nothing happened. My ever-ready batteries had failed me. Well, you know, our Heavenly Father is ever-ready, but unlike these batteries, he never fails us. He's always on hand to cheer us, to help us. The only thing is, brethren, we're not ever ready. But we want to learn to be so, don't we? He will never leave us nor forsake us. For God has not failed for one promise of all of that which he has made thus far. And hitherto have he blessed us, yes, and he will continue. Now this is true and can be true daily and hourly, as well as in the overall picture of our Christian life. Daily he is with us, leading us by his Spirit. Daily we have sweet communion and assurance with him through prayer. Daily we have the hope that is set before us. Daily we can appreciate his wonderful love. Daily our faith can become brighter and brighter. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. But someone may say, Brother Adam, this isn't altogether my experience, although I would like it to be. Well, this is where the hitch comes again, brethren. It can be. The difficulty is that we are not ready. When the pupil is ready, the teacher is always present. If we are to be led by his Spirit, brethren, we must have the desire to be led by that Spirit. We must be ready, acknowledging him in all our ways and the promises that I will direct your path. Your path. We must have a desire for more and more of his Holy Spirit. And God is ready, telling us that as an earthly parent is willing and glad to give good gifts unto his children, how much more the Heavenly Father is glad to give the Holy Spirit to them as that asks him. Daily we can have sweet communion and assurance through prayer, but we must have the desire to use this element, this quality of communication, and to use it. God heareth us always. If we want to have a strong faith, we must have the desire to have that faith increased, and to seek ways and means of fulfilling that desire by not only collective study with the brethren, but personal study as well. Lord, I believe, help thou me, my unbelief. Pray, yes, and watch. for the Lord's leading to have that desire fulfilled. The desire must be present. And we want that desire, don't we, brother? We can pray for more of that desire and to see how we can have it fed. If we want to appreciate that hope and it is to become brighter, we are to think about that hope and have it become indeed as an anchor to our souls, both pure and steadfast, entering into that which is within the veil. If we appreciate God's love, we must have the desire to emulate the same type of love, agape love, by doing good unto all men, but particularly enjoying the privilege of laying down our lives for the brethren. And we have to look around for ways and means of doing this. If we want to be strong Christians, we must have a desire to be strong Christians and to pray for the wisdom that cometh from above. And God will give to all men liberally, he says, and will not abrade us. And this becomes a source of Christian character development as well. Yes, we can feed upon the Lord's word. No longer, as we sing, I wander an alien from thee, or cry in the desert for bread. My table is furnished with bounty so free, my soul on thy word is well fed. This morning had a very nice chat with Sister Kide, an old timer, lives in the Pittsburgh area. I've known her now for a number of years. And we reminisced a little of Pastor Russell today. Now, I wasn't there, but I felt as though I were. And she said, how much the brethren back there thought of the volume. It was something very, very, very special. I hope we don't take them for granted, brethren. They still are very, very special to us. We know that they do not supersede the word of God. But like a vault to which we have been given a key, we don't throw the key away either because we're not getting to the vault. No. Both are necessary. God has given us both. Ah, but brethren, during this in-between period, someone may say, what assurance of life can I have with all the trials that we go through? What father is he? He doesn't chastise or correct his child. And God permits us to appreciate and give his viewpoint of the entire matter by telling us that he has correction and that he is dealing with us. And this is an evidence to us that we are his children. And so as we sing in hymn 109, I know no life divided. Remember that verse, I feel no tribulation, since whatsoever it be, it makes no separation between my Lord and me. We appreciate that during this interim period, brethren, we are being tested and tried and kept humble through these trials, a very important element of Christian development. Humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. The Lord thy God doth prove thee, whether thou lovest him with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so we are being proved. And these are further assurances daily, dear brethren, that we are on the right road. Life assurance. Life insurance, really. We pay for life insurance by keeping up our premiums on earthly policies, but it isn't really a life insurance because we're going to die. Someone's going to benefit by it after we go, paying for our funeral if there's anything left over. But this is really a life insurance, and trials are a part of it. You remember that beautiful chapter in the 8th of Romans where the apostle says, if When we are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God, we are the children of God, and the children and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if we suffer with Him, it shall be that we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together. Now these promises are to be appreciated by us every day. And they are assurances of life to us now. The Lord doesn't want us to ever get discouraged, and we don't have to. The Lord is ever present. His will is absolutely decreed. He declares the end from the beginning, and He tells us about the character that He'll approve. He'll not change. No, our God changes not. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But the beautiful part of it is this, and the world doesn't understand it, and the scientists do not understand it, even though they see the fixed laws. We do not have, brethren, a heartless Heavenly Father. He has made arrangements because of the rule, the merit of the Master, to be just and yet the justifier of them that believe in Jesus Christ. This is an assurance daily to us during this in-between period that we are children of God. And that God is working in us. And this is one of the means through trial, so it be, both to know and to do of His good pleasure. That we must do again our part, and there must be a genuine desire and earnestness, a sincerity of doing our part and cooperating with God and placing ourselves under His mighty hand, as though we were working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In this interim period, it is like unto a fight too. We fight really ourselves, the flesh, the spirit of the world. We don't fight the worldly people, no. We love them, we're to bless them. But the spirit of the world we fight, yes. And the devil, no match for us, but He who is with us is greater than all they that be against us. And so again we take courage to take. And our heart, dear brethren, must be in this fight. It's for keep. We either win or we lose. We are fighting, dear brethren, to win. Not only to win ourselves, but to helping our brethren win as well. We read in the Bible concerning the Old Testament character Enoch, that he walked with God, and that he had the testimony before he was translated that he pleased God. And the Apostle tells us this in the 11th chapter of Hebrews in the 5th verse. There are others who walked with God, and they too must have had the testimony that they pleased Him before they died. And Jesus walked with God, and He worked with God. And he had the testimony, too, that he pleased God before he died and was raised from the dead. He had this assurance of life. On two occasions, at least, we have the account given to us in the Word of God. At Jordan, God testified, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration again, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But daily, Jesus had tokens, assurances that the Father was with Him, and that He was doing the Father's will, and that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Some of the miracles that Jesus performed, they weren't done by His power. No, it was the power of God, even though virtue flowed out of Him so that He experienced something of the cross. You remember when Lazarus, who had died and had been buried, and by this time the body was in a state of decomposition, and he prayed to his Heavenly Father because of the people, He wanted to give the glory where it belongs. And then he commanded Lazarus to come forth. And what a miracle the people witnessed. Anyway, it says that as a result, many believed. If they couldn't believe after that, what would they believe? What could be done? What more could be done to make a person believe that there is a God, and that he is a merciful God, and that he has power? But what they didn't see, perhaps was even a greater miracle taking place before their eyes, but they didn't see it. The miracle that God was working in Jesus, the new teacher Jesus. And brethren, we are miracles too, miracles of grace. Our neighbors, the world, do not know what's taking place. Our brethren do, though. Yes, yes. To a large extent, our brethren recognize it as sweet perfume, acceptable, and see the transforming influence. And we, brethren, also may have many tokens during this in-between period of God's love for us and his dealing with us. We do not have to wait until we are changed to know whether or not we are having the Lord's approval. Daily we can have this witness from God, a continual testimony. If we walk, if we pray, that helps us to be ready to recognize God's hand in the little things of life. Don't look for big things. Don't take out your telescope and look way beyond somewhere to God and see what the others are doing. He's with you. Oh yes, he's with them too. But he's trying to get you to be cognizant of the fact that he is leading you. And so let's look for the little things. And our life is mainly made up of a little thing, but they can be very precious to us. Because it is a little thing that we can see God's hand in. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 16, which I won't read, you might jot this down, we have four indisputable witnesses as to our standing with God. In the 12th verse, it says, if we love one another, how many discourses do we have in harmony with the Bible, that we know we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. And he who hated his brother is in a death condition. He'll not feel like it. Oh no. He must have this disposition of loving one another, and it ought to be made constant. Second, because he has given us of his Spirit all the earnest of that in heaven. I am thine and have this token that I'm running for the goal. He is with us constantly, daily. He led of the Spirit. Yeah. What a comfort or comforter that Holy Spirit has been to us. Running alongside of us to help, to encourage, to bless, to comfort, to better understand God's Word, and activating us in his service as well. And then, third, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in them and he in God. If we believe in God and in Jesus, we're going to confess him and the role he plays in it. And daily this becomes a witness and a source of life to us. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. We have the Son. Let us confess him. We've accepted him. He is not only our Redeemer, he's the captain of our salvation. We'll follow on whithersoever the Lamb leadeth. And then the fourth, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We have the truth. We're not to hold it in unrighteousness, no. We hold it in righteousness and in love. We hold the truth in love. This is our really first love that amounts to anything concrete. A love that we'll never let go. Will we, brethren? No. And it is this disposition of love, the same that our Heavenly Father has, agape love, that we are to constantly seek to maintain and develop and hold fast. As the brother Slapley put it, Brother Murray yesterday, oh, he was able to, or anyone for that matter, know all mysteries and unravel them, and have not love, he'd become nothing more than a tinkling cymbal. There are so many promises that God has given us. And you say, well, Brother Adam, I'd want you to bring this promise out or that promise out. I know you will. And perhaps I won't, Brother, not because I wouldn't want to, but because my time would fail, and perhaps because, like everyone else, we are leaky vessels. But if anything belongs in this discourse, you put it in there. It certainly is part of it. Jesus said, to encourage us and comfort us, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an assurance we have concerning our Heavenly Father's disposition toward us in this matter. It is His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We realize we cannot please Him because we are in the flesh. We cannot please Him altogether, that is. But if we have the heart desire to do only His will and to seek to know what that will is at all times, then our hearts will condemn us not. And brethren, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We have the assurance, as far as we know, that we are doing His will. And having this confidence toward God, even though it may be at times, as we say, the darkness gathers around us, we can reach our hand forth to God, and He will hold it. And as we sing, I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. In the 41st chapter of Isaiah, in the 13th verse, we are encouraged, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. In other words, cheer up. But God doesn't stop there. What a blessed thought to know that He is holding our hand, if we permit Him. And He tells us to cheer up. Why? I will help you. I will help thee. The world is troubled with a lot of fear. God doesn't want us to fear. Just another way of saying, cheer up, brethren. I, the Lord, will help you. I will hold your right hand. I will deliver you in the day of trouble. Call upon me, thus the Lord. Our sanctification, our setting apart, is to do the will of God. And what a wonderful experience. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And he that doeth His will know of the doctrine. These are daily, hourly assurances. And then what more can He say than to you and to me, He hath said, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. In 2 Timothy 3:14, the apostle declares, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. But continue. This is part of our everyday Christian experience, brethren. Part of the long, good fight. This in-between period from when we first started until we finished our course in John. And we have an assurance, brethren, if we study and search the Scriptures, that the truth which we now believe is the same truth that was delivered unto the faith back there for all of God's people throughout this age. Back there they also used the expression having the truth, holding the truth, speaking the truth in love and so forth, and they were exhorted to prove all things whether or not these things were so. Now we have meat in due season, it is true. But brethren, does it mean that we have different lights than what the apostles had back there? No, it is the same truth, the same Bible, the same light. The old truth, brethren, has not gone out of style. The new truth that we have received during this harvest period merely means that we understand the old better, clearer, plainer. And this is in harmony with the Bible's testimony, that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. Yes, that shineth on and on, as Muffet's translation puts it, or as the Revised Version states it, brighter and brighter unto the full day. The same truth, the same light, various features of it are being fulfilled, but the same light continues. Let them our leaders be. For the carcass is, that is where the eagles will be gathered together. What is the carcass? It is the entire animal. You go to a butcher shop today, a meat market, and you see various cuts made before you on the corner there. Chop, steak, perhaps shank. But you don't see the entire animal, the whole carcass. Much of it is in the freezer. But where the carcass is, that is where the eagles will be gathered together. Not merely some of the truth, brethren, where all of the truth, where the whole country of God is declared, from the fall to the second death, and the beautiful doctrines that have to do with not only the church's salvation, but the salvation of the world as well. And we are made partakers of Christ to behold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. There are two significant characteristics which every successful Christian life must have. First, there must be a good beginning. And then, there must be the courage to follow on and have a good ending. If these behavior traits are missing in any Christian life, it is bound for a failure. Now, both the little flock and the great company have these traits. They both begin well. In fact, even those who go into the second death have that much to their advantage. They all begin well. But the little flock and the great company are the only ones that finish well. The great company, yes, they finish strong. Where is the difference then? What happens? Why don't they obtain the full reward? Brethren, they do not make use, full use, of the golden opportunities that are theirs during this in-between period, during this stage of development which the Lord has given us. And when during which period the little flock class is adding to their faith with all diligence, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge patience, temperance rather, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither to be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and has forgotten that he hath been purged of his old sins. Brethren, the rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are maybe some of the assurances of life that are ours now, brethren, and our mind yours. And we can have and continue to have this testimony daily. And then there's joy and peace and love. Many happy occasions during this interim period of ineffable joy and happiness. And then there's the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall stumble them. And then we have songs in the night, even songs in the night he gives us, yes. As we learn to cooperate with our Heavenly Father by working out our own salvation, co-labors together with him. These are real life assurances, brother, life assurances. Let us remember to take care of our feelings daily, that we might receive all of the benefits.
Thank you, Brother Niskowitz. After the conclusion of this service, we will have an intermission until 10:30 a.m. Then at 10:30, we will have the convention business meeting. And all those who will desire to participate in the voting are asked to seat in the lower section of the auditorium. There will be no counters in the balcony. We will conclude this service by singing all the verses of Appendix N, Blessed Assurance, the Rise at the Last Verse.